fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
And now, Tim Dillon is going to hell.
This is a thing where a lot of people get this wrong. We were off mic. We were discussing. Ben had said, say what you said.
You treat the service industry like shit.
Let me explain something to you right now. I'm going to explain something to you right now. The name of the service industry is the
service
fucking industry.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
They're there to serve.
Right.
Serve. The definition of that word does not leave a lot of room for interpretation.
It's simple.
It's pretty clear cut. I am the customer.
Right.
You are here to serve me.
Yeah.
And I was in the service industry. I was a tour guide for many years. People were very angry with me. Okay, because I didn't do the things that they necessarily thought I should be doing.
Right.
A lot of times I wouldn't give the tour. I was on a double-decker bus in New York. I would sit on the bus, and I wouldn't give the tour. And I would just play. There's an automated tour. And I would just play it. Uh-huh. And then people would come up to me. They go, shouldn't you be giving the tour? But I would look at this group of, and I've had people complain about me. A Russian woman punched me in the stomach once.
Wow.
Listen, it is what it is.
Right.
Like, I've been a, but part of my rage at people in the service industry is I want them to be better. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, you guys don't believe that.
Devin
Costa's with us. He's a very funny guy. What's your YouTube channel? Because you have a lot of funny videos.
YouTube.com/Devin Costa.
Great.
D-E-V-A-N.
Don't click on that stand-up clip, but go to the, performing in a, for a bunch of cholos and fucking. No, I'm kidding. Devin's hilarious. He's one of my new friends in Los Angeles until I really start getting stuff going on here, which I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
But I need like the interim people until.
Yeah, you got to hang out with the common folk.
I want, and this is what people don't believe about me. And this is what people don't believe about the great Luis J. Gomez, who I work for. We want people to be their best.
Right.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So sometimes that requires a stern talking to. Okay?
Yeah.
So the other night, Ben is going to use this example of the other night. Now, Ben is mad at me because he drives Lyft. So he's in the service industry. Huh. So he gets offended. And all day, he does menial nonsense tasks for people.
Yeah.
So he starts believing that's who he is.
Right.
So he starts getting angry at me, at the big fat king, for coming in and lashing everyone.
Right.
But listen, the minute you start identifying with the other people in the service industry, you might as well put the gun you can't afford, put the gun you cannot afford to buy in your fucking mouth.
Yeah, that's the moment
to make
the decision.
We walked into Swingers, which is a shithole, with locations in West Hollywood and Santa Monica. We go to the West Hollywood location. The restaurant is empty.
Yes.
Okay. The restaurant is empty. All of the tables are empty.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a nice corner booth where everyone can kind of spread out. I'm a big guy. I don't want to be fucking shoved into like the dining cart on an Amtrak train.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me luxuriate in the corner
so
I can yell and scream and make points and wave my hands.
You want the big booth.
I want the big booth. I want the corner table, especially because there's no one fucking there. I asked for the corner table. Tell everyone what happened. I want you to tell everyone what happened, Ben. Ben, our guest producer, Lyft driver.
Oh, yeah. Ben's told me this a few times. He's still shook.
It's wild.
Don't say anything about it. When he tells, I'll tell. You'll say.
Keep your mouth shut.
You'll say it in a minute because I want to know this. When he tells you about it, what is his like? Is he like, I can't believe Tim did this? Because he was fucking laughing.
No,
I feel like he revises it when he tells it to you and he fucking becomes a humanitarian.
A little bit, you know?
Right. Of course.
Somewhat.
He thought it was hilarious. He thought it was hilarious in the moment.
Yeah.
But afterwards, he's now reconsidering. And
no, he loves you for that, but then he also knows that he can look at other people and tell the story and be like, and I have to stand next to him and be like, I have to apologize to other people.
He's looking, not you, but for the most part, he's looking at other losers. He's like, can you imagine that he would? It's a bunch of homeless people talking to each other. And then I saw, and he threw a nickel at me. And then it's a bunch of other bums.
Yeah.
So tell the story, Ben.
So we're at Swingers in West Hollywood, which we're now banned from. We still go to the Santa Monica one now. But
we only need one.
We only need one. It's the better one, too.
I agree.
So
thanks, Tim, but keep going.
So I'm at the booth already. I've ordered a cup of coffee. Tim walks in.
Which is all Ben drinks all day, no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing he does, whether it's decaf. He doesn't even drink it to wake up. He just loves pouring that hot brown liquid down his throat.
Yeah.
It's like 2:30. There's nobody in there. Nobody. I'm waiting on Tim and Leo, our friend. Is Leo 11? He's 11 years old.
Yeah, he's our friend's son.
He's our friend's son.
We're taking him to eat.
I'm waiting on Tim and Leo, and I'm drinking a cup of coffee. Tim walks in and goes,
by the way, I explained to Leo's mother this story. She goes, not only are you in the right, but I'm glad my son is. I swear to God, I swear to Christ, I explained to Leo's mother what happened, and she goes, not only are you in the right, but I am proud that my son is a role model like you. I swear to Christ, this is what the woman says. So I am friends with this woman. I was on a JetBlue flight with this woman, and it was a free flight that we had gotten because another one of my friends, his mother worked for JetBlue. My friend got on that plane and it was like cold. She started screaming. Then it got hot and then she started really screaming. So this is why I'm friends with this woman. She doesn't take shit. Go on.
So Tim walks in. He goes, oh my God, this booth is too small. We got to get the bigger one. Let's do this big one. I like the big booth. Let's sit here.
Right.
And the guy walks over. He goes, sir, you can't sit in that booth. That's for guests of parties of six or bigger, I think.
I believe that's what the party line was. That's what I believe the party line was.
So Tim goes,
that's part of the training.
Tim looks at him. He goes, okay, yeah, we're leaving. We're leaving.
Well,
Ben, get the fuck up. Get up. Get up.
Yeah,
so I get out of the booth, and I'm like, Tim busts out. He looks at the guy. He goes, have fun working at a fucking diner when you're 40, you fucking loser. And he walks out.
Right.
I've already ordered.
Right.
I have to.
Correct.
So
correct.
Now I'm in the fun predicament of I have to pay. I have to pay for the coffee I've already ordered. So now I'm paying. I'm apologizing. I'm trying to tip him like big. Like I'm tipping him like 100%. You know what I mean? So like.
Yeah.
Because I feel bad. He goes, the guy's confused. He goes, what's wrong with your friend? Does he have Tourette's?
He's definitely confused.
He goes, does he have Tourette's? Like, what's wrong with him?
Is that what LA is when somebody tells, when somebody says a fact?
Oh, yeah, everyone's autistic. They think everyone has Tourette's? Like, oh, he must be like, you
he
know,
must
have a problem.
Be insane.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he thought you were autistic.
He's suggesting I abandon my web series? I'm only 63 years old. Why would I not? I mean, it's my dream to have nothing in my life except pancakes and fucking, I mean, so here's why I want to defend myself, because there's probably people listening to this show that are angry with me or disappointed in me right now, and not a lot, to be honest. The majority of them are on board.
They're rooting you on.
Do you know how many shitty jobs I've had in my life? Do you know how many times I performed poorly at them? And do you know how many times people have come up to me, literally put their finger in my chest and said, you're a fucking loser? Do you know how many times people have said that I was a fucking loser in this, like literally looked at me, looked in my eyes, in my fucking soul and said, you fucking suck. You have a shitty job and you're not even doing it right. You're not even trying to do this little fucking shitty job right. And I, on my tour bus, all the jobs that I've ever done, I had somebody come up to me and go, yeah, you don't want to fucking be here. Guess what? None of us fucking want to be here. Do your fucking job.
Right.
Okay, there was nobody coming in that goddamn diner. I was going to spend a lot of money. I'm a fat guy.
Probably
I'm
gonna
ordering.
Tip really well.
I'm going to order for six. I always tip well. I'm ordering for six. Look at me. You think that? What do you think I'm going to get? An egg? What the fuck do you think's going to happen here? The check's going to be for six people. You can prove in court that six people ate there.
Right.
And this is my problem with. I do not abuse people. For no reason. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
When I'm in a situation where I just want something and I want you to help me get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to help me get it. And if all you are is somebody, like, I was in a frozen yogurt shop. This was a few years ago. I was in a frozen yogurt shop, and I had the little tasters, and I was going to each one of the handles, and I was tasting it. And
the little tasters.
I had the little taster cup. Now, here's the thing. I need to taste different combinations together to know what should eventually go in the bigger cup. I can't have you now. What a lot of them do, because for sanitary reasons, which they don't care. They don't care about sanitary anything in there. They don't wash those machines. Come on, can we all stop?
Yeah.
The people behind the thing have AIDS lesions that are fucking oozing. Can we stop that it's sanitary? They're just trying. So a girl looked at me. She goes, "Sir, you're maximized of two sample cups." And I looked at her and I said, "Do not let this job take your soul. Do not become a company man. Do not become a corporate company man. This job does not fucking matter. You need to see yourself as more than just a fucking enforcer of what I consider a fascist policy from 16 handles." And that's what it's about. It's about not... Dude, in the 90s, pre-9/11, it was great. No one gave a shit about anything. You used to get on the Long Island Railroad heading into New York City, and you wouldn't have a ticket, and they'd go, "Yeah, whatever."
Right.
Now, everybody that is in any position of authority thinks they're part of the Homeland Security Department.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is, because I'm not, I am good, I tip really well.
Right.
In certain situations, I just want the thing that I want. I want you to help me get it, and I want to give you... I want to compensate you.
Right.
For how bad. Do I sound like an animal, Devin? No, you can be honest with me.
No, I don't. I mean, listen, I have a lot of family members like you that I go places with. We get banned from restaurants. They cause
Stan.
Like a scene. Stan, my uncle, is. We've been banned from multiple restaurants. And now, shit like that. He'll bring his. He has a fake seeing eye dog that he got like fake service papers for.
Yes.
And he loves walking into a place that hates him and his dog. And he loves showing the papers he works for the FBI.
Is he blind?
No, he's like an 80-year-old man, but he doesn't seem 80. He has a lot of, energy to him. And
right.
He talks to everybody, and he still works in his garden and shit all the time. But he just loves having to be able to tell people, like, "No, you can't tell me to leave, dog."
He's like an elderly gay man.
Yes, he's a...
This is what I'm going to be.
You are him. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Every story about him is great.
Tim isn't that crazy to me.
Hold on one second.
Not as crazy as Stan?
No.
Mom, I'm recording a podcast. I'll call you later. she's such a selfish cunt. You know? I mean, so Stan will go in there right with the fake seeing eye dog because he just wants to, have a dog with him?
Yeah. Yeah, just because he just likes his dog. He named it after Bridget Bardot, the old actress.
Great.
And he has another dog, too, that he doesn't have papers for, but he'll just bring that one in, too. And he's the king of this shit. He talks to waiters and waitresses about their sex lives, calls them losers, and, and he really, really makes people hate his guts.
I wrote something on Facebook, and I'm going to share it with you. But let me, before, as I find it, Devin, what do you, because you are somebody who's, you've grown up in Los Angeles your whole life, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you say that you're around more monsters than the average person because of your geographic location?
Definitely. And I grew up, my dad wanted to be in the movie industry. Like, he was like an aspiring screenwriter, and he had some friends that were very successful. So I was a kid around people that... they're not normal, It's not normal to hang out with people that want to make it in Hollywood, especially as a kid. So thinking that's the peak of life is like, oh, we just got to, make it in pretend world.
Yeah,
was weird.
But
he's also he taught film, so I was just, my whole life was just film and movies and. That's the steel industry.
Right.
Here, you know?
So you're around a very specific type of person your whole life.
Yes. Psychopathic narcissist.
My fucking mother keeps... Mom! Hello? Hello?
Who is this?
Who is this? Somebody else from her mental institution is calling for her. Mother, I love you. I'm recording a podcast right now. Do you know what a podcast is?
No.
She just said the projects in Harlem. No. I'm recording a podcast. It's a radio show. I love you, but I cannot talk right now. I'm trying to be famous. Okay, thank you, dear. I'm going to visit you. I told you when I get back to New York. I always visit. I'm going to get you the tempura shrimp. I'm still in L.A. I'm coming back, I promise. Love you. Goodbye. I mean,
sounds like a good lady.
She's fine. But you know what it is? It's the complete and utter refusal to understand that there are other people in the world that are doing very important things, like podcasting.
Yeah.
And she doesn't get it. I said, right. I'm podcasting. She goes,
calling again.
I can't deal with it. I'm going to flip out.
Does she do this a lot?
No. Usually, you know, I answer and it's like, it is what it is. And I'm right. like, Mom, I'll talk to her for a little while. Or I'm like, Mom, I'm on the way to something. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I can't discuss the inner dynamics of your mental institution. Do you know what happened to Sharon? She bit the orderly. So right. she's now on floor two.
Right.
Well, yeah. You know, I get in fights over there, too. I get in fights over
there. At the mental institution?
Yeah, at her.
That
at
makes
her.
Sense.
Yeah, because I, you know.
Well, they're all, you know, fucked
some
up.
Of these Long Island comics I knew did a show there. This is how they did a show at my mother's state-run mental institution.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where they're at in their career. That's where they're at, you know? But no one should call them a loser, right? No one, God forbid, someone give them some feedback.
No, I'm pro feedback. I understand. Well, upset because if the restaurant was full, you're not completely unaware that you'd be making it really hard on a waiter's job. You know, like, well, it's reserved. Like,
I have eaten in the greatest restaurants in the world. I've been treated like garbage in many of them because I deserve to be. When me and my friends would go out to places like Le Cirque. We would go out to places like Boulay, mm-hmm. Dania. We'd be sit in a table by the kitchen because we were Long Island trash.
Right.
And they would open the fucking kitchen door and it would hit the table. And the food was so good. We were drinking martinis. We were so drunk. We're like, it's so great that they can't legally prevent us from being here.
Right.
We have the shittiest table in the nicest restaurant.
Right.
That is my fucking life.
Dressed like
shit.
That
is such a better place to be in life.
Yeah.
Not really just like shit, but it ain't great.
Right.
It is, to me, you want to be at the shittiest table at the best restaurant and not the best table at the shittiest restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the way that I look at life. A lot of people don't look at life like that, and that's fine. And I have, you know,
right.
A lot of people don't like, they're like, I won't go be somewhere where I'm treated like a human being. But are you a human being? That's right. A question.
Yeah.
That's a real fair fucking question.
Yeah.
And that's where it's at. But you, going back to what you were saying, I'm not an unreasonable guy.
No, you're not. You're not. You're, you know, you just, you expect people to perform up to, you know, their standards, like what their job is.
I wonder,
you were upset that waiter didn't make the decision to be like, oh yeah, there's no one here. He's my only customer.
I love
there's an unspoken agreement. Like, you know,
I love independence.
Yeah.
I love independence. I hate rules.
Yeah.
That's why I do what I do.
Right.
I hate rules. Right. I hate people who blindly follow rules. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because one day it's like, oh, that table's for six or more. And the next, and literally right down the road, it's like, hey, let's fill this train full of Jews and throw them in. You know, I'm sure that there's a good reason that they all need to go into that building.
Just doing my job.
You know, just doing my job.
Sorry, got to give you a parking ticket.
Yeah, what's the fucking difference? Right. Don't I like independence.
Yeah.
And I value it. And it's going away in our society because we live in this corporate hell.
Right.
And I'm not trying
drones.
I'm not abusing people that are at a lower. That guy probably has more money than me, that waiter. I don't know. I'm not abusing people in a lower station in life. I am abusing the idea of conformity.
Right.
And the idea that you don't understand that there needs to, we should have a relationship. We should have a bond.
Mm-hmm.
And the great Luis J. Gomez will back me up on this 100% that I've seen Luis lose it on people in a way that it is really, I get hard.
Yeah.
That he's gotten so angry because he wants them to succeed. That's the difference.
Right.
A lot of people out here don't.
It's like a tough love thing, but they don't know it.
A lot of people out here truly don't care. Like, I've been in those shitty situations. I've worked in those shitty jobs. And the abuse that I took in certain cases fucking helped me. Mm-hmm. It literally did. Mm-hmm. It literally made me go, you know what? I should be giving a tour on this bus. It's not their fault that I didn't get an audition for JFL and that I'm mad and everything like that. Let me read you, and then we'll talk about some other things. But let me read you this. This is a real story, and this is what I feel. This is true. This is true. My proudest moment. It's no longer my proudest moment, but it's one of them. 11th grade, me and a group of my friends had gone to Fridays. Okay, mm-hmm. We suffered countless indignities at the hands of a rude and thoughtless waitress, which was particularly cruel because I had always argued for the supremacy of Fridays when compared to Applebee's, which is a medical facility where biological waste is stored, and Ruby Tuesdays. Is that Parmesan cheese or the dandruff of a substitute teacher? We don't know. At the end of the meal, we all put our money in the center of the table, including a decent tip, considering this woman was incompetent. We all went to walk to the car. On the way out, I said, let me just use the bathroom. In that moment, I quickly ran back to the table and took all the money. Now, this was when the policy of Fridays was to make the waiter or waitress pay for the entire meal in the case of a dine and dash. In the car, I started giving everyone back their money. There was laughter and cheers. Through the window, I could see the waitress flailing her arms and screaming. She would now have to cover our entire meal, probably. Now, maybe she went home and got daddy's gun and decided life, for its rare moments of victory, wasn't worth it. But my hope is that she learned on that night that the world did not bend to accommodate you. I hope she became the greatest waitress in the world. Maybe now she's selling high-end real estate in San Diego. She drives her Mercedes past her Fridays and remembers the night when a couple of kids changed her life. She remembers a position of having to beg the manager to let this one slide. She remembers what it was like to wear failure and suspenders covered in pins. And just for a moment, she thinks she smells Jack Daniel's sauce in her hair. And she starts to feel sick. But then the light changes. The light always changes, and she just drives. That's what I think she became. I bet she became
better.
Better.
Right.
Maybe she's in San Diego.
This is an interesting way to look at it.
I mean, where am I wrong?
Technically not. You know, in a court of law, it would
boys,
be, you know, thrown
tell
out.
Tell me, you're both my friends. Where am I wrong?
The entitlement is crazy to me.
So explain the entitlement.
The entitlement.
And by the way,
go in on me if you want.
No.
I've only worked in the service industry. You can go in on me. That's fine.
Well, you work in the service industry when you want.
Well, I mean, I've worked in restaurants.
You turn it on whenever you want.
You turn it on. I mean, you work when you need to work.
Right now.
You work when you need to work.
Sure.
Okay.
Your boss is your phone.
Yeah. Well, you too. You're Postmates.
Same. Yeah, no. So, yeah. So, we're service industry. We technically could just drop out at any time.
Right. And I have got fired from Postmates.
We're like mercenaries.
Hey. We got people listening. Let's try to make this interesting, okay? Explain to me the entitlement, because this is interesting to me. This is interesting. Explain to me this.
The entitlement, you think you walk into a restaurant and you deserve a level of service.
Interesting. Yes, I do.
Where you walked out of Swingers, you go, dude, in New York, this would never happen.
Correct.
In New York, they treat you like you're a god. It's like their job. Like, they care about it. And it's just like, that's not the way the world works.
Wait, why not? Why doesn't the world, why when you walk into a restaurant are you not, because no, this, let's go with this, because it's very interesting. I am going into a restaurant, I'm going to spend money, and I'm entitled to a level of service. Why am I wrong to believe that?
Why are you wrong to believe
that? Yeah, you said the level of entitlement.
Because it's childish.
Why is it childish?
Because you're like, the world wasn't fair when I walked into the diner. I didn't get the exact table I wanted. You know what I mean?
So what is my response supposed to be to the world fucking me? Am I supposed to say, fuck me more? And spend the money. I'm genuinely.
He's paying money. It's the money thing.
No,
I think.
I'm genuinely.
Well, I
curious.
Paid the bill and I tipped the guy.
I'm
driving the car.
You had a coffee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not that. You know.
You had a coffee. And listen, I want to ask you this, and I'm not trying to be a dick.
Yeah,
this conversation is going to sound mean, and I don't mean this to sound mean.
It's going to be so mean.
Other than quitting drinking, have you ever accomplished anything in your life?
No.
Okay. So let me, never. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, so do you think if you expected more from the world, you would give more to the world.
Probably. I think I need to be more entitled. I think I need to be more selfish. I think
because when people walk into a comedy club and I have a fucking 85%, like, and then if I do a whole set where a joke or two don't land, I go back to my hotel room and I'm fucking angry.
Yeah.
Because those people paid fucking money and I feel like I fucking let them down. Even if the majority of the set was good, right, and they all told me they had a great time, I said, that's not the great time, that they don't even know the time they should have had if I was on, but I was fucking off. And I feel like shit, and I feel like I let the waitstaff down and the manager of the club down, and I feel like I let fucking everybody down. And I hold myself to that standard. And maybe there isn't a correlation. But maybe there isn't.
No, the
maybe
waiter not giving you a table is him bombing that day. He's not making the good decision to be like, oh, accommodate my guest, so
yeah,
that's my job.
And I understand. You know, listen, you have a beautiful fiance. You derive happiness from other places. I really expect when I'm spending money that people are going to do their job, because I am held to the standard of I have to really do my job. Unless people start talking, they start yelling, they tell me I suck. They literally sit in a table and will say, fuck, you suck, fuck you. There, you know, mm-hmm. The feedback that I will get for not doing my job. My uncle's a big guy in restaurants in New York. My mother was like this. My mother was a cunt to people. My uncle always said, I would rather people complain and come back than just silently walk out and never come back again. Mm-hmm. I would go back to Swingers. I don't know that I'm banned. I'm probably not banned. But the reality is, to me, I would rather have it out with somebody and then go back,
right,
and just be like, okay, it is what it is, than just silently walk out and be like, you know what? Fuck them.
Yeah. You know? So you think the anger is justified? Because you could just walk away.
Yeah, but who does that help? I'm asking. I'm genuinely curious and serious here with this. Who does it help if I just walk away? Is it better for the guy? Is his... Well, what? Is his life significantly better because I don't voice my disapproval? I said a cruel thing to him. I said a mean thing to him.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've had a lot of mean things said to me. And by the way, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. When I was a fucking loser not doing my job, that people let me know that. What kind of, where would I be if no one told me that I fucking sucked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally. If nobody told me that I sucked at my job in comedy, I've been told, yeah, that wasn't good. You're not ready. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be here. I've heard that a million times, and I still hear some version of it, although it's nicer.
Right. Right.
Now you get to a level where the no's are not as you know, they're just, you put stuff out into the void, and the no's are indifference mm-hmm. now. People are indifferent, and that means that I fucking failed. So to me, it's like, I'm literally, because listen, I'm not saying I'm a great person, and I'm not saying I'm a humanitarian, and I'm not claiming to be any of those things. I'm just wondering if would it have been better had I just been uncomfortable and or silently just left?
Why couldn't you have just sat at the booths were so big? The normal booths were so big.
But see, this is why you don't do anything in your life. Now, I'll be honest with you. This is why you don't. We're identifying a very interesting thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because whatever is given to you, you swallow.
Right.
You just take whatever is given.
Yeah.
And I've never been that kind of person. I want what I want. I'm willing to work for it, and I'm willing to compensate you for it. But if I don't get it, I'm not going to be happy. Mm-hmm. Listen, why don't I just sit in the little booth? Why don't I just work at a job I hate? Why try to be a comedian? Why try to have my own business? Why try to do this podcast? Why get up in the morning? Why do anything? Literally, why do anything? I don't understand. It's like, if I was the type of person that said, oh, yeah, just, you know what? Just shove me in this shitty booth that I don't want to be in when there's nobody in this fucking diner. Why come out to L.A.? Why try to make videos? Why try to do stuff? To me, it's all this. It's one and the same thing. Now, that might sound insane to a lot of people. But, like, to me, if you don't have a vision or an idea of what you want something to be, mm-hmm. you're just living someone else's life. You're just living the life of a... I mean, am I totally wrong here, Devin? What do you think? You probably land somewhere between me and Ben.
It's in the middle for me, because I'm the only thing I was thinking listening to you was that you skipped the arguing part. You didn't even argue with the waiter. Like, why can't we sit? Like, what's the issue? You just immediately attacked, you know? So you're looking for, like...
Well, he had shut the door.
Oh, okay.
I had kind of said, like, can we do this? And I think he had said no, right? I mean, he was adamant about it not happening.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I think you immediately you sat at the little booth for a second, and you're like, you know what? No, we're gone. We're leaving.
Up out of the big booth, went and tried out for the small booth, and you're like, this is
three
bullshit.
Seconds, and he realized, he's like, what am I doing?
Right.
I just there's no way. There was literally, Ben, was there one other person in that restaurant?
Way in the back, and the back was one other person. Yeah, way back by the bathroom.
It was an off time. It's not Saturday at 8.
And by the way, there's like four of those big booths too.
There's so many of those big booths, and it was not. Right. It was a guy. He was probably having a day too.
Yeah. Right. Right.
He was like, these are the rules.
Yeah. Excited to tell people.
These are the rules. So automatically, I'm not in having a good time mode.
Right.
I'm in a mode of like, I don't want to. I don't want to be
here.
You're
right. Maybe that's why that guy is still there. You're totally right. Like, because he's the conformer guy. He's the following the rules.
He's the rules
guy. And that's why he's there. And maybe,
or his fucking father owns the place. In any event, it doesn't matter. But I said a mean thing to him. Yeah. And then he said something about me. Does he have Tourette's?
He was so confused.
but also he is now otherizing and marginalizing me.
Yeah.
And people, because I do have MTS. I do have tics sometimes. They go away when I don't eat sugar and smoke cigarettes. But that's irrational. It's very hard. It's like impossible to not have sugar and smoke cigarettes. But what he is doing is he's then... and so did he say anything else after that? What did he look like?
He was like in his 40s.
No, I mean like what was his expression after that happened?
Complete and total confusion. He didn't know what happened. He didn't know why Tim was upset. He didn't know. Oh, and by the way, later Michelle went back to the diner and was talking to that waiter. And he goes, yeah, this gay couple came in with their son earlier, and one of them just flipped out on me, and we had no idea what happened, and then they just left.
Great. It's just Ben that everyone thinks he's gay. Yeah. If it was me and you, no one would have said that. Yeah. It's literally Ben.
Apparently everyone thinks I'm gay, but what are you going
to
do?
Really?
Every single person apparently. I've ever introduced him to. Women.
I can see it.
Right. Most women.
Women think I'm gay.
He's soft.
It's like Tim said, I'm soft. Yeah, I'm soft.
It's because he takes the small booth.
Yeah. I'm envious of a lot of Tim's... go get him attitude, that fucking fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to take any shit from you. I respect that.
I think it's made me better. I think that's a large part of it, but I think there's a bunch of variables with Tim, why he got upset by that guy. Probably a lackadaisical haziness to LA service industry people are more like casual about shit. It's like, I'm paying money. Like,
Here's why.
I'm paying you to do shit.
I don't feel above him. This is why. Somebody who felt above him would have not engaged him. Somebody who felt bad for him would have not engaged him.
Right.
I don't feel above him. I don't feel bad for him. I've been in that position. I may be in it again. Who fucking knows with this business? And this is something that I think is really important. The people that talk down to people and the people that refuse to engage them, I always talk to Uber drivers if they want to talk. Like, I don't feel above fucking any human being on this earth. Mm-hmm. And that is why I directly engage with people. It's because I do not feel... that I am above them and I don't look at them. I mean, listen, if I'm in a Wendy's and an immigrant who just got to this country is working their ass off, I'm not gonna fucking go out. But this is a white male. Probably a straight. You think he was gay or straight?
He's straight.
Doesn't matter, you white bitch.
Right.
I don't feel like me and you are different. I pull up in a fucking Uber.
Right.
I'm staying in a fucking room. Like, I don't live in the Palisades. I don't fuck my daddy and mommy don't fucking live in Malibu. That's not my world. Mm-hmm. So the only reason I just want everyone to do their best and be their best. I just want people to be their best. Mm-hmm. And if their best is telling me that in a restaurant that's completely empty, that I could only sit in one little booth because they're a fucking... He had come to me and said, listen, man, I would love to give you that big booth, but my fucking manager is a cunt and a fucking half. And when my manager comes in and sees you, I will get in trouble. Dude, if you related to me like a human fucking being,
right.
I would have been like, okay, man, I totally get it. I'll probably sit in this dumb little booth. Life sucks. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, man, but he didn't. He gleefully enforced an arbitrary rule like the Nazis did. I mean,
I get it.
What's the worst job that you've ever had?
I worked nights for a bakery delivering all their bread throughout Los Angeles for like 2 years. Like, I'd go in at 10 p.m. and I'd get out at 8 in the morning.
So you worked the graveyard?
Yeah, the graveyard shift. I'd have to pack all the bread and then put it in a big truck and deliver it, you know, from downtown L.A. to the west side, and then I drive all the way back through
What
LA.
Was the worst part of that job? Was it loneliness?
Everything. The staying up, the stress of it, because I was on, like, a time constraint, so some places would be, like, if I fucked up and I was a little late, like, I couldn't get into the place, and so then I'd get in trouble. I had an Israeli boss, and he was a psychopath, and it was just, they're real militant, you know, bosses, so you just have to do, you don't get to... You know, there's no excuses. You can't give them any excuse.
Did you leave? Were you fired? What was the last straw?
No, I left just because it was, like, really affecting my health. I just felt like shit all the time. And I was starting comedy at the time, and I was, like, just tired.
There's a lot of horrible jobs out there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are stuck in them, and there's a lot of people that don't have options. And I'm not minimizing that at all, okay? I'm not minimizing that, and I'm not telling people. What I'm saying is that I just want to see your humanity.
Right.
Just be a human being and explain to me why something can't happen. And I'm a human being. But when you are just straight off the fucking bat, you know?
No, like, I get that. I hate that shit too.
I just, to me, I get, like, yeah, no, when I, you know, should I have taken the money back from that waitress in 11th grade? Was it the right thing to do? Was it, when I look back now, as a 34-year-old grown man, was it the right thing to do to steal money from that waitress? Absolutely yes. 100% yes. When I go over it in my head and I see her face and I see how fucking angry she was, 100, I would do it tomorrow again if I could get away with it, because she was a fucking cunt for no goddamn reason. Another white bitch.
Yeah.
And listen, man, I just personally, and this is a this is my personal ethos, okay? I just believe that people are better. I will never be the person who doesn't believe in people. Mm-hmm. I believe in the greatness of people.
Right.
And when they are not great, even on Fridays, because Friday's a great place. The breadsticks are soft and garlicky, but not overpowering. The three for all is amazing. The Jack Daniel's sandwich at one time was one of the top sandwiches in the fast casual. It's not even fast casual. It's a sit-down restaurant, but theme restaurant, whatever you want to call it.
They got those great appetizers, the endless appetizer thing.
You're part of a good team. It's not a bad team. You're not doing bad things.
Right.
You're doing the right thing. This isn't Denny's, where a bunch of fucking people that just got out of family court are flinging shitty diapers at each other across the table. This is Fridays. It was started in fucking Manhattan by the guy that owns my uncle's restaurant group now. He went on to start Smith & Wollensky, legendary steakhouse. Fridays was a legendary spot. It invented, like, cocktail hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that it's a Long Island Fridays. Maybe you're not happy. Maybe this is where you don't want to be in your life. I get that. I've been a lot of places I don't want to be in my life, including right here, right now. Okay? But I can't take it out on other people. I can't ruin other people's times. I can't stand on stage and tell the audience to fuck themselves if they don't like what I do. I mean, and I do that a lot. People listening to this, I've seen them do that a lot. You're right. And it's not right. You know, when I'll flip out and tell the audience, it's really not right. Sometimes if they're really animals, it's called for.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I believe that waitress was very, very mean. And she didn't have to be.
Right.
And she didn't have... Now, your girlfriend's a waitress, right?
Yeah. Yeah, at Hillstone's. It's like Houston's, Hillstone's.
Very great nice. Spinach dip.
Great place. Very really consistent.
Good. Very good place.
Good place. Right.
Good place.
Yeah.
You know, great is a meaning. But words mean things. The great Rush Limbaugh said that.
Yeah.
What does she think about working in that business?
Oh, she's totally down for just conning all of her tables, you know? Just do whatever they want, make them feel like you're their best
smart
friend.
Woman.
And just take them for all they're worth, basically.
Smart woman.
Yeah.
Good.
She's totally just... I mean, her customers, you know, get her number. Like, they invite her to baby showers and invite her to parties. Like, she just gets in.
And she got you guys Mavericks tickets, right? Because you went down to Dallas to see her?
Yeah, the chef at the restaurant who wants, you know, has wanted to fuck her for a while just gave her tickets. Just
wow.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing what happens when you perform?
Mm-hmm.
And this is why there's just all these socialists out there now whose parents are multimillionaires hate work. They loathe and abominate people that work for a living, and because they think it's horrible. Because every job they've had is horrible, and every boss they've had is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole employee-employer relationship should be thrown out because they think it's feudalism. They think that's essentially what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I've always looked, you know, everything in life is attitude and everything is perspective. And you're fucking so fucking lucky. A lot of these shitty jobs that I've had or that you've had, you're lucky to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because compared to other people's lives and other people's jobs, they're actually not that fucking bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a way out. Mm-hmm. For many people, there's a way fucking out. And by your girlfriend going in there and doing what she has to do and fucking looking at it the way she looks at it and fucking learning how to, you know,
mm-hmm.
that to me, you know, means that she gets it.
Right.
And that she has a good attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter. If you could have millions of dollars, you could have all the things you want in life and have a bad attitude, it's pointless.
Right.
Your entire life will be ruined because your perspective is wrong.
Right.
So to me, whenever people hate, well, I'm amazed. I've worked my whole life. I started working when I was 15. I've had horrible jobs. What else are you going to do on this planet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand that there's other things. Family is great. Socialists hate that too. I don't know what they want to do. You know, they hate family. They hate the idea of that. They hate the idea that the nuclear family. They don't like that. And they hate work. So I are they all athletes? I mean, I don't know what they want to do. I would love to sit down with them and go, what exactly do you want to spend your life doing?
Right.
Sitting in a fucking park?
Right.
Do you not get bored?
Right.
They hate hierarchies. They hate any type of structure. They hate somebody being more competent than you. They don't believe that exists.
Right.
They don't believe that the guy that makes more money has figured something out that you haven't figured out. They believe that he's only figured out a way to oppress you.
Right.
Well, how about this? How about you figure out a way to oppress him, you dumb fuck? Figure it out. Maybe you'd have to figure it out if mommy and daddy weren't living on the Upper West Side in a fucking nice apartment building and financing your fucking foray into art or whatever the hell.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you had to fucking figure shit out, you would. And maybe you would understand what it feels like when you have figured something out. And you're proud of yourself. You're like, oh God, this is fucking great that I figured that I came out on it. That's what it gets. Otherwise, what is the meaning of fucking anything?
Right.
What is the meaning of life? Why try?
Right.
Literally, why do anything?
Mm-hmm.
I have friends that are great romantics that fall in and out of love all the time. And that's great. That's how they interface with the world. This is what they do. They fall in love. They tell me all the time. They're like, I love her. And this is, or I love him or whatever. And then, you know, 6 months later, they're depressed and they can't because something happened and they're no longer in this love. And then they find another love. And I get that. Okay. I'm not saying you have to be a career person. I'm not saying you have to fucking. To the contrary, I think many of those people that focus only on their career, they get to a certain age, they're like, "Why? I wasted everything." I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But to just ignore the idea that struggle means something, that competition is in many instances a good thing,
mm-hmm.
to me is crazy. And there's this whole group of people now, they're angry because they took out college loans. Do you know who told them to take it? Nobody!
Right.
Told you to fucking take out a loan and study gender
right.
for 4 years at Wesleyan and then get out and realize you don't have a fucking job.
Mm-hmm.
So with some advisor, some other idiot, it's a Ponzi scheme. Some other moron who's paying off their fucking loans by how many people they can bang over the head and say, take out these loans. And they all studied, you know, quasi-creative things. And they all want to be creative, and they all want to write, and want to be listened to and be heard of them. None of them want to wipe someone's ass. I knew a lot of West Indians that came to this country, made a lot of money, and they own houses. You know why? Because they wiped somebody's fucking ass, okay? That's what they did. Because they came over, and their friend was in that business. They were a home health aide. And their friend said to them, this is how you can make money. The healthcare industry in America is, all these baby boomers are retiring and they're all shitting themselves because they've all eaten horrible food. They've all done the right. And now they're all shitting themselves and you can wipe their ass and make 70, 80 grand a year.
Right.
And you know what? None of those fucking first generation immigrants came to this country and said, they said, Leon, I don't really, I'm not excited by it. I don't really feel excited by that. I don't feel like I'm really contributing to the greater good. You're wiping someone's ass. You're doing more for people than any BuzzFeed quiz you created could ever do. You're doing more than any tweet you could fire off, any fucking Sanders campaign rally you could fucking stumble into high. Mm-hmm. Okay? This fucking old guy that can't even get out of a shower, it's bleeding. Go wipe someone's ass if you really care. Right. And get paid for it.
Yeah.
I don't think you should wipe an ass for free. Yeah. You know?
Right.
But the entitlement, you want to talk about entitlement, it's a generation of people that feel like they have to be excited every fucking day at their job. Mm-hmm. I just want to, like, I don't know, it's the environment isn't dynamic. I don't feel like there's a dynamic environment. Go wipe an ass. I don't know what to tell you. Go do a manual labor job. I know friends that are plumbers, electricians, people like that that actually fucking worked and making so much more money than my friends were holding out for some dream job, mm-hmm. some stimulating environment, mm-hmm. and this whole idea that college is a fucking scam, and a lot of people have fallen victim to it, and I get it, mm-hmm. and those people are now, they're enraged, and they hate everything. They think everything's horrible because they have $150,000 worth of debt, and they didn't major in anything that fucking matters, and they take it out on everybody else, okay?
Yeah.
I didn't go to college. I bought a house for $700,000 with a sham mortgage, and I sat in it and I did cocaine, mm-hmm. okay? And I lost that house, and my credit now, no good.
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah, I bet.
But I don't walk around yelling at everyone else because I did a stupid fucking thing. Right. And by the way, I know, and there are people out there that will be like, well, my student loans aren't the equivalent of a subprime mortgage. Yeah, they fucking are. They absolutely are. If you chose to take them and major in something with no fucking value, mm-hmm. and then you stumble out and you want a job that was designed for you. You talk to people, they want jobs that are designed for them. I just want a job that's, you know, it checks off all of my boxes. Mm-hmm. Everyone, I want it to be
A custom job.
It's that great Mulaney joke about that show House Hunters, where he goes, and now another episode of who doesn't deserve a beach house? Because it's these fucking entitled couples that are like, I want a house that's like in the middle of the ocean, but also close to my job, with three bedrooms, but also feels really quaint, but I also want it to be very large. I want it to be in a very private community, but also very close to everything else. I want it to be in the city, but also the suburbs, right on the edge of a cliff. And it's like, oh, this isn't, there aren't, the great Thomas Sowell, who's an economist I fucking hate. I love when, sometimes I piss the right-wing people off, and this one's really going to get the left-wing people. They hate Thomas Sowell. I love Thomas Sowell, black, conservative economist, ex-Marxist. But he goes, not everything he says is right, but one of the things he said, he goes, there are no solutions, there are only trade-offs. It's one of my favorite quotes. There are no solutions. Be a fucking, there's not an innumerable amount of fucking options in life. There's a trade. You fix one thing, something else happens. Often what you use to fix that one thing takes away from another thing. You want to raise taxes on people to help other people? That's great. I'm all for that. Will that stifle innovation to a certain degree? Probably. But listen, you may have to do it. It is what it is. It's a fucking trade-off. You know, yeah. Devin, where am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think America's too good. To the point where people are like, oh, it's good, so why do we even have to do anything? Can I just get it sent to me
right.
in the mail? You know, like, send me my beach house and my and, right. and send me money. And just, come on, it's already good. Why do right. I have to even do anything? It's all here. It's right. already set up.
Right.
There's an AMC, there's a Chipotle, a Wells Fargo. Why can't I right. just use them all and not have to go anywhere for 8 hours a day?
Do you think we demean sociopaths in this country? I think we do.
Demean them?
We demean them. I mean...
Well, we also raise them up and elevate them.
And they do very well.
Yeah.
It's a system designed for them.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you, I have what people call sociopathic tendencies, and I never hear the end of how that's bad.
Yeah, right.
I really, I'm dead serious. I never, I have a lot of unfeeling sometimes.
Yeah.
And people are always telling me that I should be falling apart crying in a corner.
Because
that's how these people experience life.
I think there's a necessary level of sociopathy to have to, like, navigate.
Every comic now gets on stage, and I know that you're a positive guy and you don't want to shit on comics, but let's let's try. Every comic gets on stage now, and their opener is they rattle off the medication they're on.
Yeah. Or therapy or some
they
bullshit.
Tell you, I have anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
I have anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
I make $4,000 a week to show up to an office to write jokes on a show that no one watches.
Yep.
No one can prove I'm good or bad at my job.
Yep.
I get no feedback from anyone.
Yeah.
I exist in this weird gray area that's insanely profitable.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know why I have it.
I don't know why I have this job. I'm on every list. There's as soon as somebody makes a list of the top comics you need to see, it's me. And then when someone makes the mistake of taking that list seriously and goes out to see me, I get on stage and tell them how anxious and depressed I am because everything's going so goddamn well. But I just, I'm just nervous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm nervous.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. I've always felt like if I had that, any money like that coming in, I would never, ever feel, I would immediately kick those feelings down. Like if I felt like, oh, I'm feeling anxious or I have first world anxiety. Oh, the culture, oh, social media is like stressing me out. I'd be like, I don't, who cares? Like I'm making so much more money for doing nothing. I would just always have to repeat that to myself.
Right. And I get being anxious. I get being depressed. But when you're on stage and you're trying to make people laugh, how about fucking shutting up about it?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to your friends about it.
Right.
And not like, to me,
also,
I'm like,
how many regular people throughout the country are going to relate to you and your fucking
and also,
therapy? And
how much of it is genuine depression, like clinically diagnosed depression?
Right.
And how much of it is you're sad because you're not where you want to be, which is everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how much of it is like you want to be some type of victim? So if you're a white person and you get on stage, you don't really have any stories that can make it seem like the world's against you.
Mm-hmm.
I know what real my mother's really mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
There are comedians that are truly mentally ill. Maria Bamford is a genius.
Mm-hmm.
She has real mental illness. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And that's why she's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But then there's people that get up and they're like, I have anxiety. And it's like, well, we all, you're on a stage in front of a bunch of people. And you probably shouldn't be there. I'd be anxious too. I'd be very, very anxious.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think some of these people feel like they're frauds
mm-hmm.
because they are.
Yeah.
And that's eating at them.
Right.
And they're doing something that they've lucked into or they're kind of, you know.
Yeah.
But they know in their heart truly they're not the genuine article.
Mm-hmm.
So they're fucking, maybe that's eating at them. I don't know.
I don't know either. But that is most... I mean, a lot of comedy today is talking about that type of shit, you know, how it's all, it's like, it's just a me thing when
right.
it's supposed to be about, you know, you're supposed to put jokes out there for the crowd.
Yeah.
Not, you're not supposed to be working through your shit in front of people.
It's not therapy.
I don't care about your confessional bullshit.
Right.
You're not special. You only get to be confessional if you've had like a 25-year career and
right.
you're, you know, somebody that we already have seen give us everything.
Yeah.
Then you can talk about yourself and I'll listen to you and your problems or whatever. But you don't, now everybody starts off with how, like, oh, look, like they start off with their nostalgia or like their.
Do you, can you imagine going to Syria and explaining to them what an open mic is? Like if you sat down with somebody in a bombed out hospital
yeah.
who had a stub
and explained to them what we call bombing
for a leg or, and go, right, right,
right, right.
Explain to them open mic. Like there are places where you get to say whatever you want into a microphone for an hour to try to make people happy. And then if you're good enough, people might actually pay you to do that.
Right.
And some people get paid a lot of money to share their thoughts.
Yeah.
And they're still not happy. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like explaining that to anyone
right.
who's had true adversity.
Yeah. Or saying, I bombed last night. And then they're like, oh, really? Is your son dead?
Yeah, yeah. Right, right. No, I don't have.
No, I just kind of feel shitty. I drove home. I went to Denny's.
I don't have a son. I thought that would get in the way of my career. I don't have. And there's something weird about a generation of people that doesn't want to have a family.
Yeah.
It's something weird about
that. No
one's
even having sex.
Did you see that new study today?
Yeah. There's like, what, 60 or 70%? No, today I didn't see something.
There's
today.
A new study that came out today. You want to pull that up, Jamie? No, of course not. You should be pulling it up anyway. Why not? Just sit in the little booth.
We want the big booth, Ben.
We want the big booth, baby. There's a new study that came out today. It's on Drudge, on the Drudge Report. And it says that, like, I forget the thing, but it's like under 30. I think we're like, whatever study it is, so many fewer people are having sex now than like at any other time when they had kind of, I mean,
yeah,
from when they started doing these studies.
Makes sense.
I mean, what do you think that is?
Porn, a lot of it. And, I think just, I don't know. I also think like having abortions is like cool now. It's like hip or something. It's like you can have a personality.
Yes, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like Martin Luther King if you get like an abortion now.
That's the second joke. I have a dream.
Yeah.
First joke is I'm on antidepressants. Second joke is, but I killed a baby. Right. Everyone's like,
yes,
you flushed that bitch. Have you? And by the way, I think abortion should be legal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those guys. I'm not a pro-life guy.
Yeah, same.
But I don't think flushing it is the equivalent of having a personality.
Mm-hmm.
How about you get a personality?
Yeah. Also, it's easier to be distracted nowadays. There was a lot more free time where fucking was the fun.
Or fucking was the goal.
The goal. Like now it's just, it's cooler to think about it than even do it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
No, I mean that, but you just got in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for a while, you were not in a relationship.
No, never.
So you're a guy that went from fucking... Just fucking
just jacking
no study. You found no study.
No, I got it.
Okay, what is the study?
Okay, so it doubled from 2008 to 2018 to 23% of people from the age of 18 to 29 reporting no sex in the past year.
Wow,
no sex. Mm-hmm. So the lack of sex that people are having, this is the demographic that's contributing to the slump.
Right.
It's not the other demographics. It's this demographic specifically. So,
I don't know. I don't know what it is, Ben.
I think it's a lot of like, you know, people being raised with the online culture and having their communities online.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people now go into a thing about red pill culture and like 4chan and all that stuff, but it has to be deeper than that. I mean, it's communities of gamers. You can just find your community on the internet. And I think it's like, you know, it's this whole thing of like people are calling podcasts, friendship simulators now. So now you can have a friend, but like whenever you want, you can stop hearing your friends talk. You can just pause it or you can rewind it. You can have it however you want, when you want, and whatever dose you want. And you can be friends with someone, but at no expense of your own. They can never find out if you're a fraud.
Right.
They can never find out if you're stupid, if you don't make good points, if you're not as funny as them. I think that's contributing to a lot of it.
But what's interesting is, so you were a guy that, now when you didn't have the girl, were you fucking all the time?
No. I couldn't have, like, it was hard for me to have, like, emotionless sex. I would try, go on Tinder and all that shit and maybe have, you know, meet some girl. And then when we'd start, I'd feel, like, gross because I didn't like them. You know, I already didn't like them. And I knew after I came, I definitely wouldn't like them.
Right.
And I just didn't
Were you a big porn guy?
Yeah.
Did you feel like porn... watching a lot of porn
definitely affects you. Yeah, I mean,
definitely.
I was a kid, like, you know, watching porn, like a child. You know, like internet porn was everywhere when I was a kid. So I was watching like Bukkake scenes at like, you know, 11,
right?
Shit like that, where it's like, well, how am I ever supposed to have a normal sexual life?
We stole a VHS called The House on Chasey Lane. Chasey Lane was like an old school porn star.
Uh-huh.
Me and my buddy stole it when we were in sixth grade, seventh grade,
mm-hmm.
and we would pop it in every now and then, like the VHS. But yeah, we didn't grow up with like online
this crazy shit. Yeah, like, you know, guys with Confederate flags all coming onto the face of a black woman, or just crazy, just all up midgets, everything, you know, like anything.
So that kind of can ruin you, or at least can stifle.
It can, and it also I think then people, because of Instagram models and just there's, you can find a perfect image of a woman anywhere, or a guy, whatever you're into. You hold out for that perfect thing, then you stop thinking like, oh, I date humans, you know, I meet somebody I like. You start thinking like, oh, I meet the object that I want. Like, I want somebody with that hair and that body type, and you know what I mean?
Right.
So you're not, so then you just kind of never even have sex. You just, you're holding out for this like perfect person you probably won't ever get.
Right.
Because who are you? You're probably an idiot, fat,
right.
loser. So why do you think you're, you know, do this perfect
it's that
person?
Entitlement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, it's interesting. In the gay world, it's I think emotionless sex is more normal.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
And it's fine. Mm-hmm. And in the gay world, all kinds of arrangements are normal. And you'll see older guys with younger guys. And you'll see fetishes. And you'll see people that are into one specific type of guy. And you'll see a lot of gay people who are essentially dating their doppelganger.
Right,
yeah.
You'll see guys that are literally dating the exact same thing as them.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it is strange.
It is. I mean, especially with the whole, you know, fake app. I mean, body parts are fake. Everyone is kind of, you know, has surgery done on them. Asses are fake. Tits are fake.
Yeah.
People are getting lots of Botox. You can't really tell now because everyone's kind of doing it. You know, lip injections are kind of a normal thing. Yeah. I found out, you know, with girls and shit. So it's weird. I think you start forming your brain around like, well, they don't look like who I'm. Because there was a period of time where I remember I'm kind of an idiot. Like I at parties, my friends that are more normal than me and maybe not as affected by porn or whatever be like, oh, I like that girl. She's cute. And I'm like, I like that girl. Look at her big tits and her fucking sup, her big, you know, dick sucking lips. So like, I was just like an idiot, like a caveman. I didn't even understand, like, why would you go after just the cute girl in the corner with like a blanket over or like a, you know, a old lady sweater on like that. Like, I don't care. I want like tits popping ass out. Just because of
the
internet.
You want a video vixen.
I want a video vixen. Really, literally. Yeah. Like, I grew, you know, I started jerking off to, like, music videos as a kid.
Right.
I couldn't
Me
look
too.
At porn.
Aaron Carter, come on. You know what it's about.
Jonas Brothers.
Jesse McCartney, baby. I was at a restaurant last night in Beverly Hills with a friend of mine, and there's two guys singing, you know. We're sitting outside, and Beverly Hills is a real nightmare. I mean, everybody there looks embalmed in Beverly Hills.
They really do.
Everybody looks, it's a mausoleum.
Yeah.
And the plastic surgery dude is off the charts. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's like a hacky fucking premise and it's a hacky thing to even say, but like, I don't know who thinks this looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know who wants this.
Right.
Like, you know where it ends. Like, you could see where it ends.
Mm-hmm.
And these women have, that you could see their faces have been massacred by surgeons.
Mm-hmm.
And we're out in Beverly Hills, and there's two guys, one guy singing and another guy playing the piano, and they're harmonizing, but they're doing all top 40 pop, you know?
Right.
All top 40 pop, and they're just harmonizing. And they're singing, you know, every song that you've heard on the radio. And we asked the because it's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
It's annoying when you're trying to eat.
Yeah.
Hearing people harmonize. Like,
yes.
It's just whatever. It's fine. I mean, that's, I'm not going to, you know.
I know what you mean.
But my friend is there. My friend whose son was at Swingers with us. My friend pulls our waiter over and goes, how long is the entertainment portion of the evening? Like, how long does this go on for? She didn't ask in a mean way.
Right.
And then he was like really excited. He's like, well, the guy who's singing was on The Voice. And the other guy was on American Idol.
Mm.
And my friend just looks at me and she goes, this guy has no idea how tragic that is. Like, this waiter has no idea how what he just said is so fucking tragic that these two guys were on shows.
Yeah.
And now they're in the back of Ocean Prime on Wilshire harmonizing while women whose faces have been stapled together eat sashimi. It is so Like the waiter didn't even get upset. He's like, we're so lucky to have him. He was on The Voice and he was on American Idol. You know, and in the back, all you hear is, and they're like harmonizing.
Yeah.
And it's just
tragic.
And you know, as they're singing, you hear oysters clanking. and so Ocean Prime does this really stupid thing where they take, I love shellfish. It's like my favorite. That's my death row meal.
Me too.
It's like shrimp, lobster, and crab, cold shellfish on ice. It's my favorite thing in the world to eat.
Yeah. Oysters.
All of that shit.
Yeah.
You know, I love it. And all these steakhouses, they have these like, you know, shellfish plateau or tower. And it's like a 2- or 3-tiered thing with ice and fresh fish. It's the best. I just love it.
Right.
But Ocean Prime has said that's not enough. It's not enough to just give people fresh fish on ice. It needs to be dry ice and it should be smoking when it gets to the table like a potion from Harry Potter.
Right.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So they put these fucking shellfish things on the table. Even if you just get a shrimp cocktail, 4 pieces of shrimp, they put it on the table and it's smoking. So these poor guys are going, and like, fucking harmonizing,
yeah.
And it passing them is just plumes of dry ice smoke,
uh-huh.
As people are just shoving lobster into their face.
Just alternate dimension Jersey Boys.
Yeah, it's just such a because I get it. Listen, I will be very soon in a casino,
right?
Having a okay set for people that don't care about me, mm-hmm. That aren't there to see me. That don't know who I am, and that will leave maybe not knowing who I am, probably. And I'll be on stage going, you know, I've done the Netflix and comedy, but I felt for these dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt kind of rough for them.
Right.
That they were... So then they start doing Michael Jackson.
Mm. They interesting start, time to do that.
They start doing... Reaching out, the way of them.
Yeah.
So my friend Michelle goes, I think I'm going to go up to them and say I was raped. This is why my friend Michelle's like, you don't get funnier as a human being. She just doesn't care about anything. And it's like, those are the funniest people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether they're a drunk at a bar next to you, people that just literally don't care.
Right.
They act like the rest of the world is just a video game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she goes, I think, and I'm the only one that stopped her from doing this because I go, I come here a lot. And I pussied out. I should have let her do it because it would have been so funny.
Right.
She goes, I just want to go up to them and go, I was brutally raped and sodomized. Can you not? I'm getting triggered by the song you're singing.
Yeah.
Can you sing something else? You know? And I just told her, I said, I come here for the poke bowl for lunch a lot. Can we not? And she's like, fine. But I shouldn't have bitched out. I should have let her do it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see the look on their faces. Because again, American Idol.
Right.
The Voice.
Yeah.
They're singing to people while oysters are being shucked. And the idea that somebody would just go up to them and go, hey, by the way, like they're all ready to get a compliment. You know, they're like, okay, you want a photo? You want a picture? Oh, they think someone recognizes them from The Voice.
Yeah.
And somebody goes, hey, by the way. And they're like, hey, hi. And then she goes, I was raped. And I would prefer you not to sing the songs of a pedophile while I'm trying to eat this sashimi.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because, you know, that was the color of my asshole. After that salmon tuna sashimi, that was the color of my asshole after I'd been brutalized by someone. Reaching out to you like the way I'm there. It's like, you know, so it was just one of those real.
Well, I guess where somebody could come up to you after a show and be like, well, something in the set, you know.
Oh, sure.
Triggered them.
And they do.
Whatever. Yeah. Right.
And they do. Like, I don't care.
Yeah,
and those guys would be like, I don't care. It's a good song.
Right. Exactly.
You know, people come up to me all the time. They go, suicide's not funny because, you know, I don't even have a bit about that. Oh, yeah, I do. I have a new bit where I say something about suicide. They go, you know, it's not funny. You know, I mean, it is what it is.
Right.
You know, and I always wonder, does that ever work does a comedian ever go, oh, you're right.
Never again will I do
you're
that.
You're right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. Cancer is sad. Oh.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of funny. I always thought it was funny. I had a friend that got an inoperable tumor when he was 27, and then 7 months later, he dropped dead. And let me tell you right now, we laughed and laughed at that. But now looking at it again, I can see that it probably is upsetting to some people, I guess. So maybe I'll stop trying to make light of it.
I'll just never joke about it ever
again. You know? I mean, yeah, it's just kind of...
ridiculous.
Where are we at with time, Ben?
We're at hour six, hour okay. seven.
We'll wrap it up in a few minutes. Devin, you're an interesting guy. You do a lot of videos that I think are really, really funny, and I don't
thanks.
Usually I don't usually tell people.
Yeah, I feel like you don't give it up.
It's this text that Lewis just sent me. Gomez just sent me this fucking text. So the reality of the situation is,
what is it? What's
the... I'm not going to say it on the podcast.
You do a lot of these videos, and these videos are fucking very, very funny. When did you start doing those?
Like a year out of high school, yeah. I started listening to Joe Rogan's podcast.
Yeah.
And then I just did like an impulsive like parody video of yeah. it and didn't think anything of it. First video I've ever posted. And then the next morning, like it had, I think Rogan had found it or retweeted yeah. it, and it just got some attention. And I was like, oh, it gave me this burst of excitement. I was like, all right, I can finally start making other things, and there will yeah. be some people to watch. You know, it won't just be 20 views for, you know, ever. You know what I mean? At least
yeah.
500, whatever. But
what's cool about you is you're not like a YouTube, like, you never got into the Vine
no,
star.
No, no, I just...
So what is...
Which is my problem.
It is, but it's also why I like you, because I find what you do funny.
Right.
Like, Ben has another friend, we're not going to mention his name, it doesn't matter, who's very successful at putting out content, but he's not funny. But that's okay.
Right.
He's goofy, he's silly, and a lot of teens and preteens... enjoy yeah. their content, even though they're an adult, grown-up man.
Right.
And they've made lots and lots of money making 11-year-olds laugh, which should be illegal, and I think is in many states.
Yeah.
Why you didn't ever get into that type of shit? Because you just...
I just wanted to make the best thing that I could, and yeah. I just happened to put it on YouTube, but you're not... YouTube isn't for that, really. You know?
Right.
It's not for, like, quality... videos. You're supposed to just put out as much shit as possible,
yeah,
because it's for people that are watching for a minute, maybe,
right?
You know, but I just wanted to make something good and put it up and see if people liked it enough.
Did
you know?
You never got into Vine?
No, I could never do. I hate that. People told me to do, like, oh, you should do Instagram video or whatever. Like, if I had an idea like what you do with your desk videos,
yeah,
I would. Then, okay, yeah, I'll make minute-long videos. But I never get an idea like that, really. They're usually like...
Oh, your
like,
videos are great. They're sketches. They're a few minutes. They're not super long.
Yeah.
But they're really genuinely funny.
Thanks, Tim.
And that is rare with that medium.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say it's impossible. There's other people that are out there doing it.
Yeah.
But it seems to... Social media seems to lend itself a lot more to just... a steady stream of stuff that's kind of goofy or in a weird way, like this positive, they have this positivity angle.
You're not really supposed to try anymore either,
right.
Which is kind of like it comes off weird to people, like Twitter, you know, like people that are popular on Twitter write in lowercase letters, like they're kind of supposed to act like, I don't even care about this tweet. Like, I didn't even capitalize anything in it. Or, like videos are... It's almost cooler if the video is done, like, in a janky way, like, shitty or something. Like, that adds some element to it online. People would rather share that than something that is kind of well-made.
Right.
It's weird. I don't know. It's And I missed the boat with YouTube, too. Like, if I had probably started making videos in high school when, like... fucking Andy Samberg's whole crew and like Kyle Mooney. People were like getting views on YouTube with pretty quality comedy.
Sure.
And then that kind of just like ended and YouTube got more and more into just like being cartoon
stuff. It's also like a really... And some of these kids are like... they're trading on their looks. Mm-hmm. They're attractive. They're jumping up and down on a bed. And then there's a million girls. It's kind of like the Bieber phenomenon. Mm-hmm. But then there are some of them, and some of Ben has showed me some of these guys where I'm like, they're creepy looking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or they're not hot. Like, I get it. Cameron Dallas jumping on the bed. You know,
right,
I get there's an appeal. there's appeal to that.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not at all somebody who doesn't get why that is good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But then I'll see like a creepy guy in his mid-30s with millions of fans. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what's this?
Yeah. How did this happen?
How did this happen?
Yeah.
And a lot of it is that weird positivity angle. Mm-hmm. That you see now,
yeah.
Where a lot of these people are like, believe in yourself.
Right.
Be happy.
Yeah.
I care about you. Mm-hmm. I would hug you if I could legally do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is my dog.
Mm-hmm.
This is my backyard.
Right, right, right.
And I'm going to now unbox. I'm going to open a present.
Yeah, I just bought a TV or a new gadget. I'm going to open it.
Do you want to see me open something? And right. I'm like, what yeah. is going on out there?
I don't know.
How bad's it getting? Literally. I'm lucky enough to not to have a thing that I
yeah.
that has tortured me and will kill me, but at least it's something I enjoy
right.
on some level.
Yeah.
How bad is it out there that people are watching other people open
right.
gifts?
Yeah.
And when I try to say something like that, people are like, well, you just don't get it. You're an old fucking loser. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. But how rough is it out there now? Where people don't require anything
yeah. Yeah.
of their time. I mean, the other night, we were in the car. Me and Ben were driving. And I was playing, like, I love live albums. Like, I'm a fan of live albums. A lot of people don't like them. A lot of people get mad at me because yeah. I play them. Mm-hmm. I love live albums. Because I love that energy. And I love all albums. I love all kinds of music. But, like, I love any, like, a Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, mm-hmm. A Tina Turner, a Rolling Stones,
yeah.
A fucking Phil Collins, like, you know, all of those, you know, those people are like legendary. Every song they do is a hit. Mm-hmm. And when they do it in like this big stadium, you have Billy Joel, like, there's this rush of energy and feeling. And, you know, some of those people, like, we listened to Tina Turner the other night, and Tina Turner's like an alien, the level of talent. Mm-hmm. You know, like Mick Jagger would watch her. Just to give you an idea of like the level you have to be at,
right.
where Mick Jagger's watching what you do. Like Sebastian Maniscalco's always been a fucking beast, mm-hmm. but one of the nights it got everyone in New York to wake the fuck up and take their head out of their fucking comedy snob broke asses was you know who you are. Was when he's at the fucking Gotham and you got Seinfeld, George Wallace, and a few other guys, I can't remember, watching Sebastian. Like, do you know what kind of beast? Somebody said this. I forget who said it on Facebook. I'm sorry. I'm not crediting you. I don't remember. Somebody was like, do you know what kind of fucking beast you have to be to have those fucking guys watching you? Mm-hmm. So, like, Tina Turner's like an alien, and you're just like, the level of talent,
right.
where every movement, everything she says, every crane of her neck, every fucking thing is fucking wow. It's like, you are not like me. Mm-hmm. You are not like, everybody in that audience was not going, you know what I could do? I bet I could get on that stage at 65 years old and sing and dance my ass off for 2 hours. Nobody. Nobody at a Bruce Springsteen concert's like, I could be the boss. I'm the boss. Nobody's doing that.
Right.
Everybody's going, I am lucky to be, and I've seen Tina live, I've seen Bruce live, I've seen a lot of these bands live. I'm lucky to be in the same fucking state as this person who's touched with a talent that is inconceivable and could not be. You can work hard. Mm-hmm. You can work your ass off. And still not get to the level of fucking greatness mm-hmm. that a lot of those people are. Mm-hmm. Whether it's B.B. King or any of those fuckers who are like, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you don't have people in that category now. You do. But there's some obsession now with this idea that like, oh, I want to feel like I'm like the people that I consume their art. I'm like them. They're relatable to me.
Right.
They're relatable. They have a dog. I have a dog.
Yeah.
They like omelets. I like an omelet. Like, there's this relatability horse shit.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I like being in awe.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll go to a Broadway show. I love going to see theater. Do you ever see any theater?
Yeah.
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 We're in LA?
Yeah. I got Stan, my gay uncle, used to take me to plays all the time.
Thank God for Stan, huh? He'd still be working in that fucking bread room. Every now and then you'll go see a show in New York City and you'll look at somebody on the stage and go, this person is so talented. Now they'll never be recognized in their time and they'll die alone. It's what New York's about. You go, that person is amazing and they will never, no one will ever care. They will die in a little apartment. And that is the beauty of New York, whereas you come to LA and you see a millionaire and you go, whoa, what? Like, that's the difference. Right. The difference is LA, you go see somebody that pulled up in a 5 Bentleys. They come in with like a fleet of military cars. They're landing in fucking Marine One helicopters. And you're like, this is going to be good. And then 10 minutes in, you're like, I don't know. Like, I could have stayed home.
Right.
But New York, you just see somebody you've never seen and never will see again. Mm-hmm. And they're leaving it all on the field. Like, they're so fucking good. You're like, Jesus fucking Christ. But to me, it's like I always want, like I'm always attracted to that level of talent where I'm like, fuck, these people are just good.
Right.
They're just solidly good.
Yeah.
And I feel like with a lot of shit you see now, that's not the thing. People are almost intimidated by that level of talent.
Yeah. They don't want to be
they don't even
challenged.
Like it.
They don't want to think about like, oh, why that person might be better than them. They just want it to be like you said, like the day. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm opening a door. I open doors.
Right.
I'm live streaming me walking to the store. I go to the store.
Right. People having a talent now is like off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like threatening.
Yeah, a lot of shows on TV, there's really no writing in the show anymore. It's like an episode of TV now will be like, oh, we wanted to go to the park today, but oh, it rained. So that's the end of the episode. That's it.
Yeah.
Like we're all friends, and it rained, and so we're not going out. And that's like it. That's like there's no, you know, there's nothing's happening really.
Yeah.
No one wants to be challenged. I think it makes people uncomfortable, especially now with you know. Orange bad man.
There's also something to the idea of, right, I know, Conan. Yeah. There's something, I get it. He's putting too many people on. There's something also, I think, to be just said for this idea of like, no one, there's no awe anymore. Like, people in awe of things is like, you're a loser.
Right.
You're a loser if you just stand back and you're like, I don't even know how this could even happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just having a religious experience listening to this person.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that now that people are less there. Everyone, there's a cynicism, and I'm a very cynical guy, but there's this type of cynicism now where they're like, everything's fake, everything's the machine, everything's marketing. Listen to any but lit. When people tell you now about something you should see, they tell you how that person got successful. Mm-hmm. Notice this. Notice this when someone tells you who to go see. They go like this, they go, you got to see this person. They figured out YouTube early on, and they started blasting their shit out in people's faces. And the people couldn't, they didn't have any choice. And then they figured out, and they built it, and you're like, oh, well, we having a marketing meeting?
Right.
Is this a marketing company?
Yeah.
Is that what this is?
Is that why he's good?
Yeah.
Because he sold himself
right.
really well? Is that his talent?
You got to see this guy. He was smart. People use the word smart now as why he figured it out. They go, that guy figured it out.
Yeah.
It's like, but do you connect it all to what they're doing?
Right.
Or are we just going to, because if I'm going to just see someone who figured it out, let's go to a Trump rally. Because he figured it out.
Right.
More than anybody performing at the fucking improv did.
Right.
So if we're all just invested in how it happened and not
why. Oh, this guy's really smart. He's great at harassment, sending spam.
Yeah.
He's great.
He knows.
Such a genius with spam.
Yeah. That's what people describe now. Nobody describes the actual fucking experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I think it is, the reason I believe it is that people have stopped abusing the wait staff at restaurants. Devin, where can people find you if they want? And they should watch these fucking videos and become a fan of yours, because you're one of those people that I'm like, this guy's really funny. He's doing really cool shit. Where can they go?
YouTube slash Devan Costa, DevanCosta, and it's the same on Twitter, Twitter handle at Devan Costa.
And Instagram, you don't do anything, but they should still follow you.
Yeah, and Instagram, the name, Devan Trill Costa. I made it a long
Costa,
time ago.
Costa,
C-O-S-T-A, not a K.
Also, you know, me and Devan are going to do some videos. Devan helps out with a lot of videos that I do that have been really cool and have gotten some attention lately. Yeah. Subscribe to Tim Dillon's Going to Hell on YouTube if you can. I mean, also, iTunes, please rate, review, leave us a five-star rating. That would be very nice. Review us. That helps the algorithm. I don't even fucking understand it, but it gets this podcast in front of more people. TimDillonComedy.com for any live dates. You want to see me live. I'll be at Roar Comedy Club in Springfield, Massachusetts. I'll be at Laugh Boston. I'm coming back to Dead Crow Comedy Club in Wilmington, North Carolina. I'm coming back to Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. In the fall, I have dates at the Stress Factory in New Jersey, Side Splitters in Tampa. I'm all over the place. All my local dates in New York and LA are really predominantly on social media. A lot of them are last minute, and I don't know where I'm going to be, so I don't have a ton of those on the website. But the weekends where you see me headline, that is where all those dates are. Subscribe if you want to Gas Digital. You get all the archives of the show, which is 2 years. You get all the other shows that we do, Legion of Skanks and Part of the Problem and all that. It's like $6-$7 a month. There's a fucking ridiculous amount of content, and you get the live video feed. You get all the video archives, but other than that, we have our episodes up. I think it's like 8 weeks on YouTube, 8 weeks out on iTunes, things like that, to give you guys a chance. This one's going to be an audio-only episode because we're in L.A. We're fucking around with video capability. We're going to have video capability in L.A. soon because I'm spending a lot more time out here, and there's a lot of great guests and people that are going to be out here. So Tim J. Dillon, DILLON on Instagram and Twitter. And, shoot me a message, tweet at me. If you like the podcast, if you like the episode, tweet at me. I usually retweet you guys. I'll throw you up on the Instagram story. You know, all the stuff that I just made fun of for the last 15 minutes of the podcast, we have to do because we're living in hell. So this is the reality and you have to do it. But hopefully, if you enjoy this podcast, you don't tell somebody like, oh, you know why he's so good? Because he retweets the compliments that people give him. That's what's really good about this. No, hopefully you're like, oh, it's funny. This guy's a psychopath or, you know, whatever. But thanks for listening. Goodbye.